What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. This is Footy Prime the podcast with Danny Diccio, Craig Forrest, and James Sharman. Today, we welcome ourselves back to Eggplant Picture and Sound. For producer Dan Wong and myself, Jeff Cole, let's get this party started.
Thank you, JC. Great opening, we assume. Haven't heard it yet. I actually feel bad for JC because often he'll record the opening after we've recorded this, and it's a great opening, but we don't react to it because we have no idea what he's done. So let's assume it's really good.
Okay.
Yeah?
Nice opening. Best ever.
Maybe the best ever, although last week's was pretty good. Remember the talk show one? The quiz show.
It was like
Game
Jeopardy.
Show. Game show. Jeopardy, yeah, okay. One. Was really excellent. So anyway, JC, thanks. I'm sure it's great. Enjoy the cottage, prick. Sharman, Forrest, Diccio, Wonga here on keyboards. Before we get going today, great, great tweet we got after our last episode from Buffalo Mike.
And important for us moving forward.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, a bit of a challenge for today's podcast, actually. Well, for one person in particular.
Buffalo Mike, wasn't it?
Buffalo Mike.
Hmm? No, that's Buffalo Bill. Oh.
Buffalo Bill, yeah, yeah.
Just to wear people's skin.
It will put the lotion on your skin.
Jeez, put the lotion on its skin.
Put the fucking lotion in the fucking basket. Put the lotion in the fucking basket.
Precious. Put precious in the fucking basket.
Precious, that's right.
Yeah, awful. Precious.
That makes me skin crawl.
Yeah, it's funny, we're just talking about cannibalism, weren't we? Now. And now we get to this. Yeah. Which, actually, he didn't eat anyone, did he? But Hannibal Lecter did.
Yes, he did.
Which is all kind
Chianti.
Of part of
the...
That's right.
We were talking more cannibalism specifically for your pie. Business.
That's right, and the options.
And the options.
Yeah, and would it
steak
be
and kidney?
Well, I've been my planning has been like thrown in disarray now because you guys informed me that there's evidence that if you eat too much human, that there's neurological issues proven within tribes. Right. So you're saying is I shouldn't be putting humans in my pies?
No,
because
not often.
But Craig's. But Craig still really likes the steak and kidney.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, I do.
Kate and Sydney, as we call it.
Sweeney Todd.
Charms would remember to bring some in.
I know. Well, I think I always ask you to actually text me what you want, and you forget to do that as well.
Craig doesn't know what a text
you
is.
You know he what
doesn't.
I want.
Do I? Do I, Craig?
That's what all the girls say, Craig.
Yeah, not anymore.
We've been somewhat sidetracked to start today's pod.
I was thinking about that coming in. No girls ever say that anymore.
Back to the journey of the podcast here. Yeah, Buffalo Mike. Buffalo Bill sent a tweet in saying, "Dear Diccio, I hate you and love you, but the tipping point between me walking up..." Sorry, I can't even read this, I'm so old. "Walking up and buying you a pint and starting a biter chant is your in-mic mouth breathing. Please stop the fuck out of that."
In
what does that actually mean?
I think just the last part, I noticed it when I re-listened to it.
I did too.
Yeah, I think it was too close. Oh. And you're like this and you can hear your breathing.
It's only because Wonga tells me to hold the microphone.
Oh jeez, that's my fault. Yeah. Fucking the loudest breather on fucking air. It's Dan Wong's fault.
So I'm hold it,
you hear that?
I'm gonna hold it here on the table.
How's that? How's that liver wise? Is that better?
Everyone's good.
You've got a baritone, right? So you could probably broadcast amplify enough when it's there, I would think. Maybe a bit closer than that.
I also turned up the levels so you don't have to be as close.
Perfect.
Okay. Things who was it? Together. It was John Helm. Remember John Helm at the South Africa World Cup? And he's doing the international feed, and he's an incredible commentator, one of my favorites. But he had an issue with breathing as well. And it's between every sentence almost.
Like Darth Vader?
Yeah, it was really weird. We thought, man, is John going to be okay?
John Helm.
Legend.
I think he was doing the game Bradford during the Bradford fire. Remember that?
I do remember that. 85, right?
Something like that.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think he was doing that day.
Huh. Well, we're going everywhere today, aren't we? The first weekend of the Premier League season kicked off.
Cracker.
Yeah. Of course, the two Manc teams get a week off, understandably so. But yes, some great games, actually. Interesting games. Leeds-Liverpool. How great is it to see Leeds back in the Prem, by the way? I know you guys played against Leeds. You probably hate Leeds for numerous reasons. But from an impartial fan, I think it was great to see them back in there.
I don't hate Leeds. I love playing at Elland Road, even though it was like just a lion's den. Really, really. One of the best atmospheres in the country when playing there, when it was full.
Yeah,
they were buzzing.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah, nasty. I remember my sister, it was the first game she ever went to, was came over, took the train up, did the old, couldn't believe it, like horses on either side, riot cops taking you all the way to the stadium, people throwing coins, people getting cut. Yeah, it was
great place.
Yeah, great place.
Dirty Leeds.
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about.
That was her first game, though?
Well, yeah.
That was her first game she went to, yeah.
Wow. You picked the
second one was Port Vale. Ugh, away.
Ooh. Who's Leeds, like, their, whenever they have those, you know, community? Who is their community? Like, who are their big rival?
Leeds. Man United, isn't it?
No, so they have Yorkshire rivals, which they...
Sheffield United.
Yeah, like Sheffield United, Sheffield Wednesday. But their main rivals are like Liverpool and Man United from back in like the 80s, even 70s, going to like Don Revie and all those era of like fantastic battles. Like really, really good games. Leeds are massive, massive
Peter
club.
Peter Lorimer.
They had a fantastic team back in the 70s, like a lot of England internationals, yeah. Won a lot of championships as well.
Brian Clough was there for how long? A cup of tea? Wasn't he?
7 days.
You ever see that Don Revie and Brian Clough interview together?
Yes, I have.
They're fantastic.
There's the movie that came out too, right?
Damned United.
The Damned United.
Yeah.
You have to watch that. I think it's on Netflix. So Brian Clough, one of the most legendary British managers, English managers, very successful, and was hired by, at that point, high-spending Leeds, right? Uh-huh. To steer the ship, getting back to where they should be. And I won't spoil it. It didn't work out, but it's a great movie. It's a great movie.
Very good move. I think what everyone fell in love with Leeds over the weekend was their tenacity, their willingness to play with no fear. And that's been Leeds in the Championship for the last couple of years under Bielsa. But I think Liverpool were shocked by Leeds a little bit. I think they knew what was coming, but they didn't know that the actual intensity and the prolonged time that they actually went at them, Leeds. And if it wasn't for a dreadful centre-forwards tackle late on in the game, they would have come out of Anfield with a point. But
they're like that annoying fly in your car. This wouldn't go away. You know, 1-0, 1-1, 2-1, 2-2. It was amazing, wasn't it? It was fun to watch. That's a damn
very good game. Really good game.
I was actually doing the CPL game at that time with Nigel Reid in between plastic, and I kept banging on the thing, showing him, telling him, it's now 2-2. It's now 3-3.
Nigel's saying, shut up. Yeah. Trying to freaking call Forge against.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It wasn't quite the same game.
Huh. Not quite the same, no. Not quite the same atmosphere. But, no, I mean, that they were going at them. It's Bielsa, right? I mean, this is our first time seeing Bielsa in the Premier League.
And we expected that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Apparently Klopp didn't.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's just, that's brave. That's really, really brave. They're going to catch a few if you're going to come out. And you got to be fit to play in this side, eh?
Yeah.
Holy man, do they run.
I've studied a lot on Bielsa and his training sessions and just his, like, pre-planning. It's so intricate, all the details that he has for certain plays, certain, we call it periodization of where he wants the team to be during the season, whether it be pre-season, middle of the championship campaign, end of the season. But those guys, some of the training sessions, the guys are actually like being dragged off the field because they're just done.
But can they sustain that for
The problem,
season.
And that was the problem in the first year in the Championship. I remember speaking to our good friend Aaron Lamb Chopper, who's a big Leeds fan at Sportsnet, and he was like, we're flying, we're absolutely flying. And I said, be careful after Christmas. The players can't sustain what he wants. And he had that problem at Marseille for a little bit. I think he was at Bilbao, and they were very, very good for the first 2 or 3 years. But then it's a very difficult balance to train your team like that. It's wonderful to watch as a spectator, but playing it is very, very difficult because you talk about your training week where Monday is usually a light load. Tuesday, you start to progress into a more difficult day, and Wednesday is your highest day of trying to get at least half or 75% of where you would be at a weekend. But Leeds, they go at it for like 3 days of the week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and they have their light days on Monday and Friday. So I'm surprised that they haven't had more serious injuries, but they've obviously got a fantastic staff working alongside him. I don't think that the amount of respect for Bielsa coming into this league, into the Premier League, shown by not only the media, but by fellow managers within the league. You could see the admiration from Klopp at the end of the game. He's like the old guy, like kind of a little bit like Roy Hodgson, who have done their time in the professional leagues, and there's a huge amount of respect for him.
Yeah, made his way around the world coaching. You know, never took like big clubs. Like I know he took Chile and Argentina, but club football, he kind of avoided that, and he's offered big jobs by all reports. But he likes those builds and the starts. And he also signs 1 year contracts too, I think, right? And maybe that's because he sees himself, I'm going to burn these guys out in a couple of years. I'm not here for the long haul. But right now it's working, isn't it? And it's damn fun to watch.
Fun to watch. And for the first few months too, they're going to be buzzing because it's just their adrenaline. You're in the Premier League and it's exciting. And even if they do what they've done, and if they lose games by 4-3 down the road in a few months, and have a look at it to see where they are physically and mentally at that stage, you know.
Couple of our old teams, first game of the season, I'm already worried about them, Craig. West Ham and West Brom.
Oh my God.
West Ham look a shambles.
Man, you had to feel for David Moyes, don't you? Right? As it stands right now, he's not getting what he wants. They're selling the young players, which was against his wishes. You know, they're not, the money they've recouped, they haven't spent.
Financially, they're obviously strapped. Their owners aren't willing to dip into their own pockets and spend.
I just started reading a thread on Twitter before I came here, from the Swiss Ramble, right? And they do a lot of the finances of football. And they're breaking down who watch teams have spent the most the last number of years, who's been leveraged the most against, you know, interest, yada, yada, yada. Really breaks it down. And it looks like the Gold and Sullivan have like benefited the most from their high interest loans they've given the club.
Yeah.
Which is just going to infuriate.
Yeah. The fans are just had enough. And it's one game in.
Yeah. Tell me this, if this is true as well, Craig, because my oldest son, Luke, was listening to a Arsenal podcast the other day, and they were actually speaking about West Ham, and he was saying that they've moved into the stadium where it's basically the Olympic Stadium, and they're renting it at this moment in time. But in 2 or 3 years, they can take over ownership of it and then possibly sell it for big money. Is that correct? Is that what they're holding out for, you think, the owners?
I'm not sure. I'm actually not sure about that. I know they're renting it, and I know the rent is cheap. I think it's like $5 million a year or something, which is less than what it costs for upkeep. And I think there's some local tax implications too for the city.
But I'm not sure about that. They've basically been promised the stadium once the loan or the rental agreement is up. So they take over the stadium for select amount.
I'll find that out.
Yeah, because that would be interesting. That's possibly going to be why they're hanging on, because the amount of stick they're getting.
Like, why would you stay around?
For 2 or 3 years now, they've been like getting hammered.
It must be an end game for them. You're right. No one needs that abuse.
The big promise was, you know, we're moving into the Olympic Stadium. We're going to be challenging for the top four and Champions League. That's what they sold everybody on. You didn't do that, and
yep,
you wouldn't have never got him out of Upton Park.
No, you're right. I mean, it's all very well moving to a new stadium, but at some point you've got to start, you know, addressing the on-field issues, and there just isn't much there, you know, it seems. And just at what point does infighting off the field affect on the field? We know it happens, right? But, I mean, it must, as a player, when you see no ambition or little ambition, or they're signing the wrong players, or the manager hasn't got a say in who's coming in, it's someone else, does it affect the on-field product? At what point do you, as a football mercenary, which is what they all are, and that's fine, say, okay, you know, what is the point?
Yeah, they're looking for an out game. But, you know, it's difficult because when you're in that situation, you're trying to deal with your own game and trying to keep your own performances up, aren't you? But at the same time, you're seeing what's going on around you, and you're just like, there's just no way that we're going to get out of this quagmire. We have no leadership. The ownership's terrible. You know, so it is a tough situation for them. And it's also an easy way out for a few of them, too, for blame other people.
Mark Noble went public, right, on Twitter, and mm-hmm. said how you know, essentially how disgusted he is with the club when they sold Dan Garner to West Brom. Should he have done that, or should he have kept it in-house?
I think he should have kept it in-house, and I think David Moyes would have wanted him to keep it in-house. He's an old-school manager as well. And just talking from my own experience about being in a situation like this, I've played with managers, head coaches that kind of thrive on that as well. It's kind of, we're separating ourselves from the ownership to show the team spirit and the mentality that we have as a group here. We're going to show that we're not going to be affected by whatever's going on at board level, or whether the club want to be sold or whatever it is. But I played with a couple of managers that really, really thrived on it and used it as momentum to try and gather the squad, the team together, and push through and show that we don't actually need that. That's a separate entity from us. Okay, they own a club, but we playing for our own careers here and for the fans that turn up week in, week out to support us.
Us against them.
Yeah, it was a us against them mentality.
So us against us being you, them being the ownership,
the board, the directors,
the board, yeah.
That you rarely see. You never see those guys, the board members, do you, Craig?
No.
Rarely you would see the president come down or the owner come down for one game.
Only
of
if
the
you're
season.
Injured, you might see them having a prawn cocktail or something.
Yeah.
Daniel Levy's pretty prevalent at Spurs, according to the Amazon documentary. He's often in the cafeteria having a bite, and the players approach him.
They look shocking at the weekend as well, by the way. Spurs versus Everton.
Well, they're tired. Let's ask Jose, unlike every other team.
Apparently they had COVID, a few of them.
A lot of COVID cases.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they were poor.
It's not like Jose to make excuses.
Mind you, Everton look pretty damn good as well. Good. I like their signings. I know every year they make signings,
you know,
but it seems that it's planned.
Hammers did well.
Oh. Alan?
I think it could be a little dark horse this year, Everton.
For what?
For
sixth?
No. I think they could push like a Champions League place this year.
Really?
For me, they're better than Everton. Sorry, they're better than Tottenham.
Mm-hmm.
They're up there with Chelsea.
So United and Chelsea, they're trying to... Arsenal's up there now as well.
But. Arsenal played very well. Okay, it was against Fulham, another promoted team. But I really like the midfield of Everton, Doucouré, Jimenez, who gives you that little bit of flair. And then Alan, I thought, was player of the match.
So all the little things he does, right? The simple things he does. And you know these kind of players. And they're so instrumental in good teams. They don't do anything, you know, box office.
Yep.
But they do the simple things. Why are there so few of these guys? If they just do the simple stuff well... Simple stuff, right? Why aren't there more Allens in the world of football? Why aren't there more N'Golo Kantes in the world of football?
It's not seen as sexy, is it?
No, but...
But you ask any player or manager, that guy is the most important player on your team. But to the media and to the most part, to the fans, they don't see those kind of players. They don't see see the dog's work that those guys do. But
off the ball work.
Yeah, and it's the same in basketball. Like, you look at the boy at the Rockets who used to be at the Raptors, PJ Tucker. Yeah. Again, he's a guy that does all the dog's work, gets all the fouls, he's getting rebounds. But everyone's looking at the beard. Or, what's his name? Donatello.
Donatello, isn't he Ninja Turtle.
Who's the other guy at the Raptors?
Westbrook,
yeah. I call him a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. But no, Everton, going back to Everton, and said, really like their midfield. And for me, I'm going to put my opinion on the table here. They've got the striker that is going to lead England in the next World Cup. Calvert-Lewin,
yeah.
I'm a big, big fan of him. I really like his movement. He's a young player. He can score goals. His hold-up play is progressing.
He's going to supplant Harry Kane by 2022.
I think so. I really think that...
Big shout by Danny Dicchio.
He's going to be pushing Harry Kane. I think I've been watching Harry the last year or so.
He was frustrated yesterday, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was frustrated.
Pushing people around.
He's still going to get goals, for sure, Harry Kane. But I just feel this boy is the future of England.
Do you think Gareth Southgate's got the balls to drop his captain?
No. I don't even know if Gareth Southgate's going to be in charge by the World Cup.
Really? Oh, big shouts.
Big shouts.
What is going on today? Jesus.
What else you got? What else you got in your crystal
ball? Euro is next year, we hope, touch wood. So England shit the bed and they fire Southgate, and then who's coming in then? I'm assuming Tony Pulis or someone.
Ted Lasso.
Where is Tony? Where is Tony Pulis these days?
You know what? Someone mentioned that recently. Yeah, where is he?
Tony, I think he's just doing like media stuff at the moment.
Is
yeah.
he? Yeah. And I feel bad
waiting for somebody to be in the relegation fight.
He's a good manager, but you get my point. Yeah. So Southgate, Everton's going to win the league this year.
No, England's I didn't say win the league. I said they're gonna push into the top five. I think top four, top five.
So, but you like Calvert-Lewin as a footballer? He's got all the tools to be.
He's got all the tools.
Is he different to Harry Kane? How would
yes,
you, how would you
much different.
Him? What is he like compared to someone that, you know, the average audience member would know? I mean, we know who this guy is, but yeah. What kind of player is he?
He's a boy that I've watched and liked since England won the World Cup at the U17s. And we know Foden come out of that group as well.
Ryan Brewster was there too.
But Calvert-Lewin is a player that England haven't had for a long, long time. He's mobile. He can break lines with his runs in beyond. He's pretty quick as well. His hold-up play, as I said, is improving. He's got a good body, upper body. His strength's improving. You've got to remember, like, Everton paid $25 million, $30 million for Moises Keane. And Calvert-Lewin is starting ahead of him. Okay, Moises Keane hasn't settled in well. Richarlison is playing on the left side because Calvert-Lewin is the number one striker for them now. He's very good in the air. We saw at the weekend a fantastic header he scored against Spurs. He's very aggressive in the box, attacking the ball. And he's got good feet within the box as well, striking. His finishing could improve with the amount of chances he gets per game, but that's going to come with the repetitions of being in game situations, not in training, but in game situations as a young player playing in the Premier League, getting those opportunities. I'm telling you, putting my hat on it now, he's going to be England's starting striker. Sorry, I'll brush
that's
it.
Great, Craig's hat. And he's got the right manager there in Ancelotti. Right, who's coached some of the greatest strikers.
And he's playing with good players around him now as well. James Rodriguez is going to elevate his performance to a new level.
How come no one, I say the big clubs, with respect to Everton, no one came in for Doucouré? He's been great at Watford for the last 2 or 3 years, right? A really important player for that team. Their best player. And I thought for sure he would walk into a United or an Arsenal, but they never went for him. It's weird, isn't it?
There was a lot of rumours about Doucouré going to Arsenal last year. Mm-hmm. And even to, I think, Liverpool were looking at him. There was rumours, but I think he's a snip. When you look at him for 20 million, I know we're talking silly money,
right?
Now.
What a great deal.
And you're looking at Declan Rice now that Chelsea are saying for 55 million. You go, Doucouré.
If West Ham sell Declan Rice now,
there's gonna
watch
out. There's going to be murders. They'll burn that stadium down, Craig.
That's all right. They're only renting it.
Get a new one, move somewhere else.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so Everton looking. It's funny. Week one, I wish we could go back in previous years and hear read our and other people's commentaries after week one of the Premier League season, right? Because it doesn't really mean that much, but no. you can see seeds being planted and a different looking Everton, for example, an exciting Leeds team. You mentioned before West Brom, you know, not looking great.
Well, they didn't spend any money either, did they?
Who do you have going down? I forget. We did the previews last week on One Soccer. Who do you have going down this year?
Fulham, West Brom, and my gut feeling is West Ham, but I didn't put them there.
Yeah, you couldn't do it, could you?
I couldn't do it. I don't want to be right.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Who was the other one? I'm going to say...
I had Villa.
Yes, Villa.
Villa?
I think I had Villa, too.
Yeah.
Dunlop is going to cry.
I know. That's the reason I picked them. I love seeing Dunlop cry.
Yeah, exactly. But
I don't want to see Villa go down. Just mean they haven't done much in the offseason, and they could still lose Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
It's hard to predict before the window closes, right?
My bet is West Ham finishes in the bottom five.
And it'll be
that's
a noisy
an easy way out.
A noisy, painful bottom five too, right?
Yeah, it won't be like all the way.
It'd be that the entire season the fans would be in uproar. They'd be, you know.
Well, I think in the next six games it could be on 0 points.
Well, but how great is it to suck during
their schedule? That was their easy game against Newcastle. That was That was the one they had to win.
Newcastle actually looked decent. I mean, they're nice signings.
Yeah.
Callum Wilson is a good player.
Two or three nice pieces in. Yeah. Wilson, we'll give him an edge. Hendricks scored the goal.
Fraser
Lewis from Norwich,
Jamal Lewis,
and Fraser, who got a little bit of stick over his
roof.
But so you're trying to keep that club and team together, right? You got all this noise going on behind the scenes.
Yeah, rejected again the takeover bid.
Yeah,
right. Another noise.
Was that from the Saudis again?
Yep.
I don't mind the Saudis not being involved, to be honest.
No, but if you kick them out, then there's a lot of
Well, there's a few others.
State ownership groups with questionable human rights records.
You talking about the U.S. owners?
Yeah, exactly. No, they're fine.
Of course they are.
Back to Leeds. Calvin Phillips looked really good. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, I don't watch the League Championship. I haven't got time. But, you know, Leeds supporters said this kid's good. And one game in, he looks pretty good.
You know, that's the thing is just whether you can... Yeah, a good passer of the ball. I think he had 18 assists last year. I mean, it is a championship, but...
Still,
yeah. But making that jump up is never easy. You never know exactly what's going to happen. Just like when you sign players from the Belgian league or the Dutch league.
Yeah.
Take a big jump and... On those guys, you never know what you're going to get when they make that league change.
Well, he's a player that has been in the England mix now for the couple of, I think it's two squads now, and he made his debut in the last game, was it against Denmark?
Denmark, yeah.
England didn't play particularly well, but he's a player that's been at Leeds, the forefront of their success the last 2 years. He's got an unbelievable engine on him as well. Like, gets around the field. As you said, he distributes the ball very, very well. Long range passing, short range. He combines, gets forward as well for a number six, a holding mid. He's a player like you look at, okay, Declan Rice, who's played in the league for a couple of years now with West Ham. Or do you spend a little bit less money and go for someone like, you know, this player at Leeds, who's performed very well in the first team for 4 or 5 years now? Got into the England team. So the good thing is that there's a huge influx of younger players coming through for the England level now, and that's why I go back to Southgate in question marks around his tactics and managing this young group of players now that have huge potential. This is our next golden wave of, we talk about the golden generation of Beckham, but Scholes, all those guys that, okay, underperformed for the potential they had. This is our next generation of younger players, led by the likes of Sterling, who's still a particularly young player, who's going to be there in and around. Sancho's, Declan Rice, you've got Trent Alexander-Arnold, Rashford.
Does this golden generation excite you more than the previous golden generation?
Only because the X generation really, really disappointed me.
Yeah, at the time, though. Yeah. But before they did that, when they were still... having that potential tag, and we saw these kids coming through, wow, watch out for England the next little while. Yeah. In retrospect, in hindsight, yeah, they let us down, but there was a lot of excitement around that era about these kids in the late 90s.
Yes.
Right, as there
now,
is
Southgate
now.
Knows these guys really well because he coached them at a young level.
That's a good point,
right?
Yeah.
He worked with a fair few of them. What I would say about this generation as well is that they've won something. So mm-hmm. U17s won the World Cup, the U20s won I think it was a European Cup.
Winning U20. Mentality, right? And so, the ghost of the past have been exercised.
Those tournaments are massively important, and England's taking them more seriously now. But if you look at the South Americans, love the U20 World Cup.
Yeah.
Argentina, Brazil.
Yeah, it's true. You look at all the great Brazil teams of the years gone by, they've all been successful at the age grade, right, coming through. All
yeah,
them.
Messi won the Under-20 World Cup. Aguero won it in Toronto, scored the winner here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. I don't know. I mean, are you concerned with as far as this you know, Southgate ripping session? Is he too pragmatic? Is he too defensive when he's like against Denmark, for example, not a great team, and he's having these defensive midfielders in there? Should he be opening up the field to these young creative players? Get Maddison in there, get Grealish in there, or is that your main concern with him? Have you got a concern with him?
Not really. What I have a concern with is that you don't have time. You know, if you have 3-4 months with the same team, you just don't have it at international level. It's just a different animal altogether. So putting and getting the best out of your time with them is really important. But trying to make questions like you're just talking about, you know, is Southgate's probably doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. but when are you going to get the next chance to have a look at it? You know,
I guess they got the extra year though, because Euro was delayed a year, right?
Yeah, but they're all back at their club, so
yeah, true.
Southgate's like chomping at the bit, have another go.
Who's the perfect manager for England? If you could just hire anyone,
you know who I'd really like to see there at the moment, who's not got a job, is Pochettino.
That's interesting.
But having an Argentine as an England manager could upset a lot of people.
It'd be like a West Ham player being a Millwall manager. We know somebody who did that. Stevie Lomas. Yeah. Didn't last very long.
Really? I forget that, actually. I forgot all about that.
It's like it just never worked.
It was never accepted, I imagine.
Unless you're winning every game. Yeah. But as soon as you lose one, they're coming for you.
Why would he take it in the first place? I guess he can't turn down a good game.
Well,
right?
Hindsight's 20/20, of course. Yeah, Poch, but the conversation was had.
It's amazing he's still out of work, though, Poch, right? Really? I mean, there weren't that many big jobs available this summer,
well,
in fairness.
He's coming with a big price tag, too, so there's not many can afford him.
Barca was there, but as I said before, he's Espanol boy, so
he can,
maybe he said
he can
to
bide
them.
His time and wait.
Still getting paid.
That's true, yeah. I'm sure he's got a media gig somewhere. You know, if he wants it, I'll take my £7 million a year or whatever he's on.
Yeah, there's probably some deal. If he takes a new job, then they don't have to pay, and he's just sitting there just sucking up the money.
I'm not going to take a mid-table team.
Beautiful stadium. Hey, they got a nice, beautiful digs.
Spurs?
Yeah.
Oh.
No fans in now. It's all just...
Have you watched the Spurs documentary
No,
yet?
Yeah, I'm saying that. So right now I'm watching it, and I watched episode 7 last night, and it's just as COVID hits. So it's getting really interesting behind the scenes. They had you remember Eric Dyer went into the stands?
Yeah.
That's on this episode. And they show me in the room afterwards. It's obviously sanitized somewhat for Spurs, and I'm sure Daniel Levy has his say in what makes the cut and what doesn't. But I'm still really enjoying it.
Yeah, there's enough insight there for you to be interested in. Yeah.
Danny Rose, Jose Mourinho argument in his office was brilliant.
Yeah. It's amazing, you know, that if I'm Danny Rose, I'd be like, yeah, no, I want to have a private conversation.
I know, you think so, right?
Yeah.
That's why I'm kind of deliberating whether to watch it or not, because my two boys have watched it and they said it's great, and then a lot of people I've spoken to have said you've got to watch it, it's great, but when you've grown up and you've lived your life in that environment, like we have, Craig, for the last 16, 17 years, whatever it was, there's something about me that says it's not real. Mm-hmm. It's like planned, or it's...
Well, they know the cameras are rolling.
Yeah.
Scripted. You can't be that natural with the cameras.
But a lot of people have said that it's pretty realistic. So my argument to them is, how do you know whether that's realistic?
Mm-hmm.
I know for an example, if there's a camera walking around the room, I'm not going to want to be doing anything that I would usually be doing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But
you understand?
What are you laughing at?
I'm
just wondering what that would be.
We've
all been out with Daddy.
If I would have a private conversation with naked. The gaffer, there's no fucking chance.
I'm sure
I'm taking a camera in there with me.
There's clearly a lot that isn't taped or recorded, right? But there's enough that makes you think it is relatively genuine. I mean, like I said, I'm sure that...
Well, if Danny Rose has said what he said in that one-on-one, supposedly, with Jose, is pretty honest.
It is, yeah, well, very much so.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I mean, he comes out and he's... there's this Levy in the cafeteria, and Rose goes over to him. The cameras, you know, come from far away. And Danny's asking about, you know, where do I stand as far as, you know, transfers, who's come in for me. And one of his things goes, so have Milan, where's the Milan situation right now? And Levy basically goes, nah, it's not going to happen.
There's no Milan.
But Newcastle want you.
Hold on, Newcastle, Milan.
But you know, it's definitely worth watching, Deech, and I get it. You guys have a different perspective than the average Joe like myself.
Mm.
You could probably say that's bullshit, that's real.
Yeah.
But there's enough in there for me. I think it's enough traction to make it really compelling viewing. Jose obviously loves a camera.
Yeah.
And he comes across actually a lot. It's likable Jose so far, I have to say. Less arrogant Jose, more likable Jose, which might be, you know, scripted.
Yeah.
For the cameras.
No, I honestly think behind closed doors he is that guy.
Yeah.
Just from what I've heard and from when he was doing coaching licenses and how he was helping some of the guys that maybe not looking like they were going to pass.
He seems happy, like a, not a moody guy. I got the impression the last number of years, a real moody guy, and obviously it's for the TV cameras in the press conferences when Spurs haven't been great or United haven't been great. But he comes across as being a pretty happy guy. It's turning a little bit now. It's funny, in the first few games, he can't be that hard on the players, right? It's changing a little bit now, maybe. But it's interesting, a real theme is how he's telling Spurs, you guys are just too nice. I knew this when we played against you. You guys are too nice. You're good guys. And he goes, he loves the C word. Yeah. We can say it, it's our podcast. He goes, good guys not win. You know, you have to be cunts. You must be cunts. He says the C word so many times.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah. He says it very well, too. You know?
Portuguese
pronounces
way, yeah.
It well in a Portuguese kind of way. You know?
I always wonder, though, you know, it can go three ways when there's a camera in front of you. It can go, hey, it's exactly what you think it is, or it can be over-dramatized, or it can be the guy's more muted. And Mourinho, I'm just sitting there going, he seems like a good guy, but you heard he's got a camera on him. Maybe he wants to show the world he's a good guy.
He's reinventing himself.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And, you know, Rose going in, you don't know whether he would have said any of that shit if there wasn't a camera. Maybe this was another, you know, this is where this whole thing, to Danny's point, it's not reality.
Yeah.
It could be reality.
Yeah.
But it's not 100%.
No,
you don't
true.
Know.
They might say, hey, we need something juicy.
Yeah.
And he tells the other players, I'm going to come in and dig you out.
Okay, so there's an example. Yeah. Fuckers, I need something juicy. Right now, what's juicy? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Juicy.
I killed someone last night.
Say something. Say something. Sharb's proper has got some human flesh in it right now.
But like Craig said, I know a few players that have played under him. I know a couple of staff that have worked with him, and they can't sing his praises more than I've ever heard them speak about any other player or coach before. And I think he puts on a certain persona for the media in interviews, very straight-faced.
He's planning it as an act.
Yeah, but like very, very like detailed with his player management. Like I've heard of stories where he's basically gone to see a player and his wife who had complications in birth at night, in the middle of the night. He's gone to the hospital. He's gone to see other, his off the field management, which I've heard is very, very, very good. And when you play for a manager like that, you can see where he was so successful, whether it be Porto, Inter Milan, Real Madrid, where he had that huge success. But now the generation has changed a little bit, Craig, hasn't it? Where the modern footballer is a lot different than the guys and myself and Craig used to play with or be. They don't want that arm around the shoulder no more. They've got that arm around the shoulder, that adulation from social media, from hangers-on.
So people that's changing. That's interesting.
That's
I thought it was the opposite. I thought it was, you know, they couldn't handle the guys screaming in their face. Yeah. They needed that, but you think it's evolved even from
there?
Yeah,
I think it's evolved even further. They've been through that hairdryer treatment.
So how do you deal with it? So you can't scream in the guy's face. You can't hug him. What do you do? How do you coach a young player now?
You're now not only a football manager, you're a psychologist as well in trying to help different personalities out in different ways. There's still guys that need a kick up the arse or an arm around the shoulder, but these
well,
guys,
the one thing they are, they get if they don't perform, they're getting a kick up the ass on social media.
Yeah,
and we just seen it locally here in Toronto with the Raptors, people really going at Siakam, you know, on social media, and it's like now he's got to deal with that.
They're getting
so he's gone from everybody loving him to all of a sudden he's the problem or he's the guy that lost and didn't play at the level he should have. You know, so, you know, like Alphonso Davies, 19 years of age, he hasn't experienced any of that. Everything's been positive, 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 positive.
When it gets negative, and it will at some point.
At some point, he's
going
to have something to deal with, whether it's, you know, wanting to leave the club or underperforming.
You know, interesting,
whatever it could be.
On that documentary, Lo Celso, the last one Mourinho mentions, he admits, you know, when I first came to the club, I didn't rate him at all. Didn't impress me, didn't play him. But he goes, that kid has won me over. He's really a big part of my plans now. So it shows, you know, he is open to, you know, he's not going to resent a player for too long. He's going to give him the opportunity to be better. And obviously the injuries at Spurs last year were crazy, right? And it allowed certain players to come in and take their opportunity, right? But it's just a, yeah, it's an interesting watch for sure. And I, again, who knows what's genuine, what's not genuine, but he's an interesting guy.
If there was a team or sport that you would love to do a fly on the wall series with, who would it be?
Any team, any, oh, you know, easy. It's not a team sport. It's the World Snooker Championship. And
you would love to do a fly on the wall series with like the snooker guys in the back room.
Jimmy Wade.
Judge,
yeah. Ronnie O'Sullivan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking, no, taking all those nerve pills.
Judge Trump's talking. Watch out. Yeah.
They, weren't they all, wasn't it a big drug thing in the
drugs,
the
drinking
they,
and drugs.
Because
they were
themselves.
Taking like all these nerve calmers.
Well, that was
Bill
Werbenick. Canadian guy.
Yeah,
massively overweight. Drank as much as 22 pints during a match.
22 pints during
a
match.
That.
Like, he's one of those guys, you know, when he takes a sip, it's a half a pint sip, you know?
Did he have that beat, that total recall bead of sweat going down?
Oh, sure he did. Absolutely yeah. did. Oh, yeah. Good guy, too, though. Really good. Great guy. No longer with us, unfortunately, because he drank a little too much.
I've been really spending a lot of time in the evening watching like old snooker matches from the 80s.
You're a sad guy.
I put it on. She's on my iPad, right? And I put it on, and she just gets up. And she goes, "This is the most boring ass shit I've ever seen in my life." And just left. Went upstairs. I was like, "No, fair enough." I'm watching the 1983 final.
You're like, perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
Every time you want to get rid of her, just throw on a little snooker. Kirk Stevens.
The plan worked. Who would be your one? Then?
You know what? I think I'd go. I always found boxers and sprinters really interesting. Mm-hmm.
Same mentality, right?
Yeah, it's so different from all of us play team sports. Even though there's some individual, like strikers, you know, point guards, guys who, quarterbacks, they stand out sometimes and they have to. But these lone gunman sports guys, I always found super interesting because it's all king of the world. You're the best. No one can beat you. It's not, there's no, hey, camaraderie. It's, they hate each other. You know, that whole hatred of other people. And I always found that really interesting. You know, like just
which sprinter would have, if it was the one that would have.
Well, you know what? There was that Carl Lewis. How much everyone hated him from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And then
Mo Green and Donovan was
Mo great. Green and Donovan. And then even the Jamaicans and like the Trinidadians because there was
Linford Christie from England.
Linford Christie.
They were all 30. In that race.
Yeah. Paisley Crawford, Corey from like Jamaica back in the 70s and 80s, Jesus. Like all. And then even there was that English guy when in the 80s.
Alan Wells.
Yeah. Who won the 100 because no one was showed up.
No,
I mean, I came third. I got the bronze medal.
Well, that was you that was dipping at the
that
line.
That was me. I was third place.
Hold on. He was the great white hope.
That's right.
No, he ran
the slowest 100 in the history of the Olympics almost.
Yeah, that's right.
And 12, he won.
Wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
He wore the big long shorts, right? Remember that?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. What about
you
Dave?
Always get the white guy dipping at the line about 10 yards behind.
First PB. Matt Shervington was the Aussie he used to run, and they called him, and the Aussie, they called him Tackle, because he wore obviously the tight shorts,
and he was renowned for having big.
Well, or a pair of socks.
Aussies, right?
Or a pair of socks.
Yeah. Good runner, though.
Yeah, and running down, the camera running down straight at him, and just...
Left, right. So, what team or what sport would you?
I don't know. I've watched like behind the scenes of like NFL or college football, which is pretty interesting, but sometimes it's a little bit too much hoo ha, rah, 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 all that bullshit.
Mm.
Baseball, not really. I'm trying to think of a team. So, I'd really like to kind of go behind the scenes of the All Blacks.
There is one.
There is
on
one.
On Prime. It's another All or Nothing. And it's
so similar to like what Spurs are doing?
Identical. It's
okay.
Really,
I'd
really
love
good.
To watch that. Yeah.
So you don't even have to hope. It's already there.
It's there
perfect.
For
film for me.
What about you, Craig?
Who's you?
Curling.
I thought you were going to say beach volleyball.
Hey, those curlers enjoy themselves.
Craig's been waiting for 47 episodes to say curling.
Curling.
In a footy prime.
Yeah.
What interests you about the curling, like behind
Vic
the scenes curling?
Vic Roeder.
Yeah, but he wouldn't be behind the scenes. He could do the
he's like the
play-by-play.
Ron,
yeah. the
Ron
commentary. Tom Hardy for Spurs.
Ron Burgundy.
Is it? Oh, that's good. You so you could do like so. He said Tom Hardy is doing the Spurs talking and behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah,
you could do the one for curling.
Mm-hmm.
So here they are sharpening up their tools.
Oh. Do they sharpen?
Vic Roeder has some of the best calls.
He's brilliant. He's a legend. Yeah.
Going between the two rocks, he's like, breathe in.
He'd be great doing play-by-play to porn.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Another one was like, the call before this, he throws a curl, the curls one in there, and he's like, oh, that's a honey, that's a honey. Next throw is like, oh, boy, did we have another honey here? Did we have another honey? Honey, I'm home. Oh, fuck.
I remember him
anyway.
Your Canada games. Alex Bunbury.
Yeah.
Brudusko.
When we drew against Brazil. Awesome. He loved it, you know, and he still does.
He's
still
great guy. He's really tall. Much taller than I thought.
Just tall, man.
6'3", isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so really curling? That's almost as stupid as snooker.
Behind it the scenes. Yeah. It is.
It's going to be a team. You know, the Crazy Gang would have been a good one.
Crazy Gang would have been amazing.
They would never have let like cameras behind the scenes. That,
oh, there'd be so many.
They would have gone through like 26 film crew. They would have broken cameras. They would have burnt. Like,
yeah.
Those guys were ridiculous.
Who is the worst out of those guys?
That's tough.
That is a tough
one. I played
one.
For one of them, Dennis Wise, who was a little Dennis the Menace. But you had Fashanu. You had Vinnie Jones, who's living in California now. There was just, they were like a bunch of hoodlums.
Like literally come into your club, ghetto blasters, just take over, walk in, like just so intimidating.
England fans during a World Cup, take over a town.
Take over a bar, for sure.
That's where they were. They were a bunch of...
Throw all the furniture out of your locker room.
Yeah.
They would leave it in an absolute disgraceful mess.
Wow.
Yeah, really something. I mean, really interesting.
And no fines,
no... Like, what were they doing back then in the
80s? Vinnie Jones got a big fine for doing that VHS, that how to hurt people, the dark arts, how to cheat, you know, things like when you're helping a guy up off the pitch, you grab his armpit hair, pull him, you know, and he did actually, it was maybe a DVD, actually. I think DVDs may have been around then, maybe not.
Yeah.
You know what, I might try and contact Wisey and see if he'll come on.
It'd be great.
Because he could give us some real insight of...
What's he doing now?
He's doing a little bit of media.
Yeah.
I got to smooth him over and see if he will come on and talk about the Crazy Game.
You should.
Yeah.
He'd be superb.
Yeah.
Very polarizing figure, Dennis Wise.
I think Dave Besson, the goalkeeper, he was
in goal,
quite normal.
Luis Sanchez seemed, prior to the big chief, was a little bit normal, wasn't he? But I bet they would get involved.
We could do a whole show. If we get Dennis Wise on, we do an entire podcast just on the Crazy Game.
Yeah.
Right?
That'd be funny.
That'd be a good documentary, actually. The way they survived in the top flight year in, year out, just getting results.
Yeah.
They played in the smallest stadium ever as well.
Not the best team.
Plough Lane, it was like horrible.
A lot of the best team players that went, like I think Dave Besson started in the fourth division with them, right? And went up.
Through the leagues.
Right to the top, playing this brutal.
And these guys played together this whole time too, right? If they came up.
Not all of them, a few of them.
A lot of them though.
Yeah, a few of them, yeah.
Because I mean, often you see these teams come up, and eventually their best players are plucked by bigger teams, right? I'm trying to think, like aside from
Wisey went to Chelsea.
Wisey went to Chelsea. Yep. Was that from Wimbledon?
Or was John Hartson was there. He left. Right. He went.
Yeah, but not too many. The actual Crazy Gang. I mean, Hartson was a little bit later, right? From the Crazy Gang.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he was signed.
But it's not like, you know, Vinnie Jones got a big money move somewhere. Or
he went to Leeds.
Did he?
Yeah,
Vinny went.
He's
to
got
Leeds
tattooed on his calf as well.
That was in the early 90s.
In the back of the head.
Yeah, they had a couple of like centre backs. I think it was Fawn that went to Liverpool for a bit. It was a blonde haired guy. He was decent. Yeah. They had a couple of fullbacks that were.
But
decent.
No one went to
Terry
bigger things necessarily. As far as you know, they were discovered at Wimbledon and became superstars somewhere else.
No,
they're just not superstar. Fashanu was a superstar, I guess. Close to it anyway, right?
He was effective.
He was effective for that team.
Yeah.
Not a superstar? At that era of football?
No, none of them were. I think that's what really made them successful, with the collective like spirit within that group and knowing their roles and knowing this is we've come through the leagues as a group, or we've brought in this player because he fits our style of play and our mentality. Mm-hmm. That was their whole philosophy.
And percentages they worked on. If we put the ball in the box this many times, percentages tell us we're going to score. You know, it just,
they were the forefathers of analytics.
Yeah, so direct. I think if you had a throw in, if you didn't throw it down the line, you threw it backwards or sideways, you'd be taken off.
Who's their coach again, Greg? Kinnear.
Joe Kinnear. Yeah.
Right.
Joe
Kinnear. Long time.
Yeah. Funny story.
But they would go after players that fit that mold.
Yeah.
Example, you.
Let me ask you this.
You would have been perfect for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You'd have got put in prison, but.
Yeah.
You actually look a little bit like Dave Besson. You get the big fro, big hair.
What the f?
No, you do.
Nothing like him.
You do. Google, he does, doesn't he, Dave? If you put Dave Besson's hair on Craig, it's Dave Besson.
Big fro.
If you put Dave Besson's hair on anybody, you look like Dave.
No, actually, there's a picture of when I was on an airplane, I couldn't make your party when I think you turned 40. And Craig, it was a disco party, and Craig wore an afro.
Yes.
We got to find that picture.
Yeah. Is that racist if I do that now?
Well, white guys have afros, too.
Yeah.
Well, I know, but you're not allowed to do that anymore, are you?
Oh, geez. He had that hair anyways.
Let me see. Far off.
Let me see.
No, you had that hair. That's full rock and roll.
It's Craig,
hair.
Right, with shaggy hair.
Yeah.
No, and this is a little bit different.
I had the frosted tips as well.
You did?
Oh, yeah.
Frosted tips.
I know Jimmy did. He did, too. Yeah.
I dyed my hair.
So you went and sat in, like, a hair salon and got your hair done?
Yes. Well,
tell me that.
I had a friend.
Tough goalie. Tell me that whole story.
I had a girlfriend. A girlfriend of another guy, Chris Nunn, and she used to do it at her house. And I remember you sit there with that big, like, a condom on your head, and they pull the hair through. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Oh, none of us would have gotten our hair frosted.
Danny obviously doesn't. But
tips.
Yeah, but he did. Oh, yeah, I bet you did.
Actually, I tinted. I tinted the top of my.
Oh,
really?
My missus did it. It was terrible.
Yeah, well, anyway, so when I went to do this, she puts this big, basically, condom on your head, and it's got little holes in it, and they pull your hair.
That's how they do frosted tips?
That's how they highlight it.
Yeah.
So anyway, whatever she did, it leaked through. And when she pulled it off, it wasn't just highlighted. It was freaking blonde. And then with the brunette hair I had, it was like, look, red. I'm just like horrified. I'm like, what do we do? She said, well, I'll fix it tomorrow or something at a salon. I'm like, I got to train tomorrow. So I end up going there like at 6 in the morning to have her dye it. To try to fix it, and it was just a dog's breakfast.
And now look at your head.
And I showed up in the club. Like, what the fuck happened to you?
What is it about hair and football, right?
You dye your hair red?
Footballers have always been like the trendsetters in hair, right?
Dodgy hair in the 80s.
Well, you can tell, Jesus.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, always.
At the time.
It's very rare that you have normal hair. Scott Parker had normal hair. I bet he was just like, abused in the locker room for just having normal hair.
Yeah.
Are you talking your hair? Is your hair normal hair? Is that like a normal hair?
Mine's pretty normal. Yeah. I would never be a twat and get, frosted tips. Not my style.
Shams was going through different stuff off the field. Like, he was just trying to get into his...
Actually, I went back at the score when I first started on air.
He was trying to make the starting lineup for his dad's rugby team.
First things first. No, I was at the score and I just started on air, and there was the makeup girl said, oh yeah, I hear that you're getting frosted tips or like not, but dyeing your hair.
Yeah.
I'm like, no chance. Oh yeah, tomorrow. Turned out it was James Cebulski getting it, not me. But for this like 24 hours there where I thought I was getting my hair dyed.
Wow.
And I was like, not having that. No chance. Oh, natural.
Just blonde, you were going
to... Just blonde. Blonde. It was like tips. I'm not sure it's frozen tips. It was like highlights. Yeah,
right. Yeah, highlights, yeah.
Yeah, highlights.
So you had to put that thing on your head.
I guess so. But well, not me. I refused. No.
That's the one. We're going to share that. We're going to share that Craig Forrest afro.
That's amazing.
What the hell?
Look at the shorts as well. Look at the
shorts. I know. I saw the legs. Tight shorts.
Ooh.
That's from when Ipswich won promotion.
Or was it relegation?
Relegation, yeah.
Let me ask you this, back to managers. Like, is there one manager that you didn't play for that you would have loved to play for? like that would have been the guy, if you could pick one guy that would have, you think, understood you as a footballer?
Back then? No, nobody in particularly.
I mean, you just missed out on Bobby Robson. Just missed out.
Just missed out. Got his his right hand man
Pep at the time, right?
Bobby Ferguson, who was a psycho. Psycho.
Bobby's in football. In those
yeah. Put no that in like, your hat and smoke it. He had so many like sayings he would just make wrong. He would just screw it up all the time.
Yeah, I think I would have been Bobby as well. I'd love to have played for Bobby Robson.
He's doing so well. He's on cloud 10. It's 9. Bobby. Oh, whatever. He's called me the Canadian Redwood. Are you Canadian Redwood? I go, there's no Canadian Redwoods in Canada. Oh, fuck. Oh, smarty pants.
I nearly signed for Leeds when Howard Wilkinson was in charge as well. He would have been interesting, like coach to play for. But I heard he's like very similar to Bielsa, very old school, lots of running, very high tempo training.
You wouldn't could be having that, me. Would you?
Yeah. Never liked.
This is different though for a keeper. I mean, goalkeeper. I mean, from a tactical standpoint, okay, some coaches want you to play the ball out more than other ones, but generally speaking, just stop the damn ball from going in the goal. In that era, especially, right?
Right.
Whereas for
command your box, keep the ball out of the net.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when I started, you could pick the ball up too, so it was throw it out. It was that was a rule change. It was a great idea.
Was it 91? When was that?
I think it was before that. Sprint round then. Round then.
Yeah, because I mean, that must have been an adjustment.
Yeah.
And some of those.
But for the game itself, it was a lot better.
Very confused by it.
Yeah. Well, and it got out of the gates. It was more like pass back, blasted in the stands.
Yeah. Right. Get rid of it. Don't do anything stupid.
Mind you, they pass it back, and my defenders would just turn around and ignore me, like Jimmy Brennan on the set of Sportsnet. Nothing worse when you look up for some support and they're all like, don't go to me. No, don't want any part of having that.
Beads of sweat on his forehead.
But going back to like wanting to play for a coach, there wasn't many coaches that the boys spoke about to say, oh, I'd love to play for him, or I'd love to, you know, be part of his squad. It was more the other way of, the rumors going around of you don't want to fucking play for that guy, or you don't want to play. There was like a couple of coaches, like Souness was a guy that not many players wanted to go and play for. That's why he started bringing in an influx of foreign players to his teams. There was another guy. Who was it? I remember my first day at West Brom. So I turned up at West Brom and I was on loan from Sunderland. I've just come back from an injury. And there was a couple of guys I played with or played against, Jason Roberts being one of them. But there was another guy called Des Little. He was a fullback, and we'd always had banter playing against each other. My first steps onto the train, he's gone, Dick Deej, what the fuck are you doing here? Have you not heard what fucking this is here? Yeah. He says, fucking, how long are you on loan for? I give you 2 weeks. And it was a 4-week loan period. And like the constant reminders of guys like, you don't want to fucking sign here. Do not sign here. And then after about.
And who is the gaffer?
Gary Mixon.
Oh, so you did sign.
I did sign. Because my family had moved all the way back down to London from Sunderland because I was meant to be going to Palace. Palace's coach at the time, I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was Steve Bruce, got sacked. So we bought a house in South, like Epsom, near the racecourse.
Nowhere near
like,
Birmingham.
Fuck, I can't be in Sunderland. I got to get closer to... So I'm doing... 4 weeks, I'm scoring goals at West Brom. And they suddenly go, okay, we're gonna pay your transfer fee. We want to sign you permanently. And the boys, the first day I'd done my loan period, the first day they signed, they went, you've just signed your fucking life away. Welcome to hell.
And were they right?
And they were fucking right. They were right. We got promoted with that West Brom team. I do not know how we got promoted with
that.
How
soon did you realize that this is going to be a long, long journey at this club under this guy?
I wasn't thinking about that. I'd already knew that it was going to be a long process.
You put your family first.
I put my family first. Yeah.
Hope they
I wanted
that.
Them back down south, back civilization.
You speak with so
respect
to
the Geordies. All respect to the Geordies in Sunderland. No, I love my time up in Sunderland. But. We'd already made the move. I thought it was going to Palace. It was all done, dusted.
Jesus. turnaround.
Life of a footballer.
Do you remember that when you sat down in Megson's office and he goes, "I want to keep you"? Do you remember that? Was it inspiring?
He didn't even say that to me. It was like done through my agent, through the club.
Yeah.
He'd never ever welcomed me in or like
said I wanted you.
Yeah.
Really?
And it was after about 2 years I'd done with him. I was like, I got to get away from this guy. I'm done. And he brought me back in. He'd told me, look, I don't like you. I don't want you around. Like, but the president,
you're unlikable.
But the president and the owner has told me I'm not paying fucking Dicchio to sit on his sun lounger with a pina colada. Why you're losing games? So Megson said I've got to bring you back in.
Man manager.
Yeah, so I scored.
That's the way it was back then.
Yeah, I scored in the returning game. And this is a guy that told me, I don't rate you, I don't like you. You got me promoted and stuff like that, but so what? Scored on my return against Middlesbrough, and then we played in the cup against Bradford, I think, 2 weeks later, and I scored a hat-trick. He's come out in the newspaper and said, and because there was rumours of clubs wanting to buy me, he said, we're not letting Dicchio go for no less than 10 million. So it was like a real, like...
Weird.
Bird, yeah. Give me the bird in the newspapers to say, I told you I don't rate you, I don't like you, you're out of here, but you're not going anywhere because you're scoring goals and you're doing what we need you to
mixed
do.
Messages.
Yeah. Unless someone comes in for 10. No one was ever going to spend 10 million on a tall, lanky Dicchio at my age. He was just that just kind of guy. Yeah, he played mind games.
What was Harry like as a man manager? I mean, he seems like he's far more approachable than Megson, for example, was he?
Harry loved a conflict. Like, he loved bringing in players that he thought he could man manage. Like Neil Ruddock, Paolo Di Canio, John Hartson, Moncur.
Personalities who could cause a bit of friction in the room.
Yeah, he loved those guys. But he would always have fights with them and arguments with them. Crazy.
Make up with him.
Huh?
Make up with him afterwards.
Yeah, make up with him.
Volatile relationships.
Yeah.
Dysfunctional, would you say?
Yeah.
Yeah?
A little bit. We just called it the West Ham Football Pub.
That's great.
We had a reserve game once in Rupert, our massage therapist, married to Lennox Lewis's mum.
Really?
Yeah.
I remember that guy.
Remember Rupert?
Older guy, yeah. He's been there years.
Years.
Nice guy.
And he was
really
a great
nice
therapist,
guy.
But his hands were like all crusty. And I was like, Rupe, what's wrong with your finger and hands? Like, well, I'm allergic to oil. I'm like,
he's a massage therapist.
He's a massage therapist. I'm like just cuts and like, it's just awful. Red raw. I was like, what? So anyway, we had a discussion with the club and said, you got to buy him some oil that he's not allergic to. So they did. But we had this reserve game, and he was supposed to be on the bus to be our massage therapist. And he's not there. Everybody's on the bus except for our massage therapist. Like, where's Rupe? So somebody goes to phone him, can't get a hold of him. But he obviously takes the call, or he sees this, they call it. So he thinks, oh, I got a call. So he phones and says, oh, I've got a family issue. I got a family. I can't make it. I can't make it. But all the first team lads are out having a night out. And the phone that he phoned from was Frank Lampard's. So the reserve coach going, why are you phoning from Frank Lampard's phone then? Just silence. Wait. He was out having a fucking piss up with the lads. Because they
Frank
loved
Senior.
Him.
It's your round.
You're round, yeah.
Frank Senior, obviously.
No, it was Frank Jr.
Frank Jr. He's out with the players.
Good old Rupert.
Yeah, phone from me. Yeah, good old Rupe.
What point did he realize he is allergic to oil? The good thing it'd be pretty early in this massage therapy.
Yes, he just didn't do anything about it, but it was like exfoliating hands. Take a layer of skin off.
Well,
we should talk quickly about the French game.
Holy shit, five red cards.
PSG.
Was it 14 yellows? I think it was.
Something like that.
It kicked off at the end of the game, right? And
you know what?
Is now accusing, it was now of a racist comment.
Yeah.
Bottle, yeah.
Yeah. Is that true? I mean, they got him. I saw a clip, but it was, I don't know what language he was speaking, but he was.
I watched the highlights, and then you couldn't really see.
No.
Like, what
there
was on
it.
Even see,
it was handbags.
Handbags at
it
most.
Was embarrassing.
Yeah. There was people swinging from
diving.
The rafters. Yeah. The one guy went down, like, he didn't even get
He actually
touched.
Did the headbutt.
Yeah.
He headbutted. I don't even know he headbutted. It was just a ruck of players.
He drops a head and then he goes down.
Jesus.
Just
sickening.
Yeah.
Make it count. I mean, Neymar tweeted afterwards, my only regret is I should have punched him in the face.
Yeah.
Like, oh, piss off. You wouldn't have done that.
Well, I mean, if it was something racial, well...
Well, no, in that, yeah, but, of course, but yeah. Neymar's not... It's all very well to be a tough guy afterwards. I hit him in the back of the head. That's not gutsy. Yeah. He may have deserved it, but come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a real brawl.
No.
The real brawls I used to love watching were the old, in the 80s, the old rugby games, Wales, England, Scotland, England. There were some, like, full Donnybrooks, like, legitimate
swinging
fights.
Swinging haymakers.
I miss a rugby fight, actually.
It all comes down to suspensions and fines and how heavy they are, because we know in football, as much as I'm going to take Danny Dickey over a fight against just about anybody on the field, you can't.
Yeah.
And it NBA, massive fines now. Remember back in the day, there was fights for the fans, fights for the, like, and it was just, they were just like, this is bad for our product, bad for our brand. If you do anything like that, fine.
Yeah. Even hockey now.
They fine Brown at whatever, was it Brown for the, no. The guy that was flopping for Celtics.
Smart.
They fined him.
Yeah. For that flop.
$35,000 or something.
Yeah.
35 grand, eh?
Which is nothing, but
it's nothing, but well, it's got a point. It's got a point, and they're gonna pull that stuff and from the game,
yeah,
and fine them hard. But if you throw a punch in the NBA, you'll be suspended, then you don't get pay. So if you, it could literally cost you $3 million.
Two fights, two sports that no one knows how to fight in. One is basketball, and the other is soccer.
Well, it's not that they don't know how to fight; it's just they you can't fight. So if you do anything, it's all cheap and dirty.
Except they can never land. You never see a good solid punch in basketball.
You can.
No, I'm even back in the day when Dr. J and Larry Bird would fight. Or
yeah, they're all like sort of big haymakers.
Yeah, it's because they're so gangly, right? Yeah. The longer and taller you are, the less natural it looks, you know? By the way, Tyson,
there's a lot of footballers, like Roy a lot Jones of footballers Jr. boxing.
You watching that?
Background.
What? Is that this week?
No, it's November. I think it's November, isn't it? 28th?
Yeah.
Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.
Is that a train wreck?
You know what? I listened to Tyson was on the Joe Rogan podcast last week, and he seems pretty up for it and training hard and feeling really good.
Yeah, he's looking good.
He's looking really good.
Instagram. I wouldn't want to fight him still.
Yeah. No.
Jesus, you see the bag work he's doing? Holy shit.
Yeah.
And Roy's looking pretty good too.
Yeah. He's quick.
We should watch that. We should make a plan and watch that together.
What's your weight difference? Is there much of a weight
difference? I don't know what it is now, because Roy, he fought at several weights. He was never heavyweight though.
No.
He went the highest I think he went was middle.
Yeah.
No, I think he got up to light heavy.
Did he?
Yeah, I think
And never got into cruiser, but light heavy was the where
but he's
he
gonna
stopped.
Have to keep moving.
Or Tarver. Remember Tarver knocked silly twice? Or but at least
I would take Tyson winning that fight in the phone booth.
Oh yeah.
I'll take Tyson against most guys in the phone booth.
Yeah.
But going back to the NBA, and I've noticed something, because soccer, football is always renowned to have players that are a little bit theatrical, diving, flopping, whatever it is. But I've noticed it become very prevalent in NBA now, and even hockey.
Absolutely.
It's definitely there.
Yeah, you know? Like in NBA, I've seen a lot of guys flopping now, with even when they're taking three-point shots. I know Lowry is the king of it.
Yeah.
With just the slightest touch, and they're going out. I saw Serge Ibaka doing it the other day. I was like, whoa, big guy.
Well, because you got to limit the place to land, right? And they're trying to draw a foul by he's now coming into his space.
Yeah.
But you're right. And even the charging fouls.
Yeah.
It's a hard one for the referee. You know, it's like, all right, did he plant? Is he, you know, and then how they just make it look like Lowry's a legend at it. Like he really is. I mean, he's really good at it. He's, you know. But so it is coming to hockey. There's usually the high stick that just glances the nose and they throw their head back.
Yeah. go down, Craig.
Jesus, just hit my head.
Craig just smashed his head on a post. For those
so there is embellishment in all sports.
And podcasts.
I didn't embellish, though.
You didn't actually know.
No.
You're hard, man. Your nails.
Oh, yeah.
Your nails.
If that was a game, I'd have been down like
down
a sack of
for
shit.
Sure, for sure. Did you ever dive? Did you ever dive, Deitch?
No.
Not once?
No.
Did you ever embellish anything?
I would embellish something if, like, it wasn't to win a penalty, but it was to, like, win time late in the game. So if a guy's holding on to me, I would kind of fall down.
Right.
Or fall back
on me. But it was, I don't know. It just wasn't how I was brought up.
You weren't raised that way.
It wasn't.
No. What about you? It's different for a keeper, I know, but there are times, you know, on a free kick or a corner, Do you ever go down?
You know what?
Perhaps you should have done?
Trying to be too cute and going around of a player, and then drew a bit of contact, but he done me. He was definitely in front of me, and I gave it the old ha ha, went down.
I think the refereeing has changed a lot as well compared to when we were playing back in the day, where referees would just go, "Get up, you big softy!" Or where now,
well, and then if you had a tackle and they go right through the ball, and then you, there is no point in complaining because that was never going to be given. Normal. It's fair. Now they're like, "Well, I can still put it in the mind of the referee that that was over excessive use of force." Mm-hmm. And I might get the challenge. Even though I've lost the challenge, he's won it fair and square. Maybe if I go down, it'll look as though he used excessive force. So they always got that one now.
It was interesting as well. At the weekend, I think it was Palace versus Southampton. It was the first VAR in the Premier League red card that was overturned.
That's right.
Which is good because it was replayed. The referee had sent him off. But it wasn't a red card. It was a high foot, but there was no malice in it. And it wasn't overzealous in trying to harm the player. And the referee went to look at the VAR. He got the call in his ear and he rescinded it to a yellow.
Is that the first time we ever heard Danny Dicchio kind of make a nice word about VAR?
Yeah, it was actually, because it was showing that they're actually using it to an effect of, okay, it was the wrong call. I've been given the...
I think there'll be more good things out of VAR. I mean, even watching the CPL and the Ireland games, there's been a few incidents where
handball last week.
The handball, right? If that goes to VAR, it's not a handball.
No chance.
His arm,
how it was anyway,
his arm was tight.
What is he supposed
to
do?
Right next to his body when it hit him. But you know what? The referee that, and I would do the same. Everybody appeals, yells at the same time. Handball. And next time,
you got a second to make your call.
Yeah.
Right.
Penalty. Give it. You know. And, oh,
it ain't easy. That's for sure. It's not easy. All you cheating bastards around you, screaming, yelling.
Yeah.
God. Are we out of time?
I had extra 10 minutes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that.
Look at that. We're back. Wow. First time in 2 weeks, an extra 10 minutes.
Oh, that's right. We missed it. Yeah, we were away last week, weren't we? It was a
first week of school.
That's right.
That's right.
Kind of.
Can't wear. Yeah. My kid's Wednesday.
I'm going to take
my kids today
get
and
get a degree,
tomorrow.
I think. We've got lots of time.
We've got time. A degree in what?
I don't know, biology or something.
Seems easy enough.
Yeah. Chemistry.
Chemistry?
Yeah. You can become mature a student. Greg Forrest.
Yeah.
You know what they brought
professional
out
student.
In England this year, and I was devastated, like for courses and stuff for GCSEs? DJing.
Oh.
That's
a GCSE?
Yeah.
You can get a graduate degree in that. You could be teaching it.
You could finally get a grade. Yeah.
Exactly.
A passing grade.
Getting above C.
This is actually not a degree.
No, it's like a GCSE coursework.
Oh,
so you know what you used to do at high school?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Why is it different to music? Music is a GCSE. Exactly. There's no reason why it shouldn't be the same as playing the violin.
So I was reading a little bit about it, and they were saying actual people... The people...
Very nice here.
Like signing up to do music now, whether it be violins, where it is, a musical instrument, has gone right down to like 2%. So now they're moving with the times, and there's like music producing, TV producing.
Well, you could combine DJing with chemistry, so you can make your drugs and then spin.
Hmm.
Right? It makes sense.
So sell it at your parties.
And then order. Right. Yes, and then order
and then
pies.
Do commerce as well. So you're working the business side.
What are you doing in your pie shop upstairs?
What's that?
What are you doing in your pie shop upstairs? You got some space?
I'll take anything at this
point. You need to be able to cook.
We should all try that for like the next few months, because he's saying he's going back to school to do. If he's doing biology, DJing, you should try and work something out, like cooking.
Cooking, there you go. Yeah, home economics.
Isn't a guy who makes pies, you should be a registered, qualified
You think you should
cook.
Be? You should be.
No?
No. In fairness, I'm not doing
it
anymore. Anyway, it's not like you need a degree in cookery to work as a cook. You don't need that.
No,
just cook.
It's like football. You don't need a degree
no,
in football
precisely.
To play.
Yeah.
But you need almost one to coach.
Yeah, nowadays you have badges. You can't coach without badges, right?
Tell me about it.
Yeah. Even when you have them, it's not good enough.
Constantly audit, go back, do it again, 2 years.
It's as if it's a
really?
Trap.
Is it like an upkeep to it? You have to get, really?
Yep.
How much is that?
I don't know yet. I haven't had to do my audit for my B yet.
TFC is paying for that, right?
Some of it. Yeah. Yeah, some of it. They're actually pretty good of it. But like people around the world, they if they're not at clubs, they have to pay for it themselves.
They so if you took all your coaching licenses in Europe, say, right to the pro level license, how much would that cost the average person?
For a pro license? Mm-hmm. For a pro license, now it's around...
Go all the way through.
So. Oh, yeah. If you're doing like your C...
Just so everyone knows, before a dish, Craig's eating pound cake as he's asking questions.
It's lemon.
Lemon loaf.
Sorry, Dish.
I think if you're doing C, your C license all the way to B to A, then your pro license, it can be in excess of around 80,000.
Jeez. 80,000, really?
And we're including like flights... Hotel,
and that's also like that. In time going to be what, 2-3 years, 4 years?
I would say no. I'd say the pro license now you're doing in around 18 months to 2 years. It's a pretty long,
yeah, but
course. But
you add them all together,
doing, yeah. If you're doing C, B, A, you could possibly do
you
it
have
within
to do them
5 years,
all in order, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
You can't get onto the next one until you've completed the lower level.
Is there as an ex-professional?
Yeah, you go in at B.
Right. Yeah, but then you get hired, and the average manager makes $11 million a year now, right? Well, thereabouts.
Yeah, hold on a minute.
Depends where you're coaching.
You're talking about the top end. See, this is selling the dream.
I wasn't being serious. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, that's just selling the dream.
You make more than half of the, what's it called, CPL coaches, Jumps?
Not anymore, I don't. Trust me.
Not anymore?
I don't. Get the old case of beer.
The pie business. The pie business and the soccer podcast business.
Made a profit. Back in the business. Back in the business.
We don't do this for money.
No, we do it for love of the pod.
Just like senior guys.
And therapy. Really, yeah. This is therapy for all of us.
Yeah.
Well, as my previous extra attempt failed miserably, let's try again now, shall we? We're out of time now for sure. We'll have this up at some point. It's not live, so I don't know why I'm saying that.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Which is tomorrow.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Which
Tuesday.
Is today.
Yeah. But the three of us are on, we're on One Soccer tomorrow, right? The three of us are back in.
Tomorrow. Are we?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, what do you mean you don't know? I'm in.
I'm pretty sure
Charms is in.
All right. I'll double check.
Yeah. Check out One Nation tomorrow at, I think, 7.
Broadcasting tomorrow. Professionals.
It's just like it's just their Sportsnet. Are we in tomorrow? No, Danny, there's no games tomorrow.
Deitch, we're in tomorrow.
You wanted
really?
We wanted you. We want to have you in more often.
Buffalo.
We want to have you in more often. You got to take the opportunity.
Yeah, I thought they forgot about me over there.
You're unforgettable, Deitch. All right, thank you, everyone. Hope you enjoyed this. It's been a long one, and the last 50 minutes have been a complete waste of time. Bye.
Have a good day.
What up, Primers? JC here. Can't get enough of Footy Prime the podcast? Why not head over to Footy Prime's YouTube? Head to youtube.com/footyprime for exclusive video content. Then make your way over to wearefootyprime.com for all things Footy Prime, including our official gear from Admiral and our One Ball Gin from Nickel 9 Distillery. And make sure to follow and subscribe across all platforms, from Twitter to Instagram to Facebook to TikTok. Footy Prime has got you covered for all things footy. Thanks so much for listening, and back to the show. Oh.